Welcome to the Buddy Seat. I'm your host, Erin Willenberg, and you've found yourself in the best seat there is to hang out and learn all things agriculture. Grab a coffee, and snacks are always a good idea, and let's get rolling. On today's episode, we're discussing the latest research on a relatively new challenge in the prairies, and that's group 11, insensitive anthracnose in lentils. So today we're joined by Rob Kluchuk, and he's the technical lead with Syngenta Canada to chat through that today. So thanks for joining me, Rob.
Well, thanks for having me and asking me. It's an honor to be on the show. It's getting a lot of rave reviews out there from what I'm hearing. So glad to be involved.
Well, that's awesome. So I want to introduce you a little bit to our audience before we get started. You know, I've known you a long time, and I even recognize you as the guy that helped to launch Axio. It seems like a while ago now. And in fact, you were even a hologram, if I remember correctly, the hologram guy who helped launch Axio. Can you give us a little bit of an introduction, Rob?
Yeah, this was state-of-the-art marketing back in the day when we launched Axio, probably in the early 2000s. And interesting story. So it was a hologram, and I got shipped to Minneapolis to a studio where I was recorded multiple times. It was a full day of videoing, and they had this technology where they traced my shape and cut out a piece of fiberglass or whatever it was. And then wherever I had to stand very still. And that's why you'd often see only my hands moving or my head a little bit, because if you moved, you were off screen. So the fellow was telling me that, hey, Rob, we just had Peyton Manning here as the quarterback in the NFL, and we just finished with him. And I said, and now you've got me. Oh, dear. But anyway, it was an experience, and that was state-of-the-art at the time. At the crop production show, it was there, and yeah, interesting stuff.
That's wild. I remember seeing that hologram, and it was pretty cool. So do you want to tell us a bit more about your role with Syngenta right now, sort of what some of your responsibilities are, what you look after?
Yeah, so it's been, I'm a lifer here at Syngenta and legacy companies, Novartis and Ceiba back in the day. I've been with Syngenta, this spring will be 26 years, so I've been here a while. I started back in 1995, and I've had a range of positions, research and development, and I date back to helping register the grass weed herbicide called Horizon. So back in the day, that was very, very neat science. And that's what I was brought in for, is helping do wild oat and grass weed trials and tank mixes and all that sort of thing. I spent a little bit of time in seed care, and I had a sales territory for 10 years north of Regina. Then I went into the technical side after retirement of one of our guys, and I've been in the technical roles for the last number of years. So as a technical lead at Syngenta, I focus predominantly on herbicides and insecticides, foliar insecticides. And since I'm in a very strong lentil geography here in Regina, I've taken lentil fungicides on as passion as well, because there's a lot going on. So that's what I do, and that's what I've done up until today. And so I'm here today with you to talk fungicides and issues.
Yeah, right on. Well, I've talked to Rob a few times before about lentils and lentil fungicides, and passionate would be an understatement. So I'm excited to dive into our topic. So let's do that. So we want to talk about anthracnose today and insensitivity to group 11 or Strobe type fungicides. So just to make sure we're on the same page, can you tell us, you know, what are group 11 fungicides, or maybe a few examples, and why do people call it group 11 insensitivity? Can we just call it group 11 resistance? So I'll let you tackle that.
Yeah, so that is a very good question. And myself, I had to learn about this too, because I argued on a committee, on an anthracnose resistance committee, about whether we call it resistance, whether we call it insensitivity. Kind of the same, but they're kind of different. So group 11s, you know, they're brought in to stop the respiring of the plant or the fungus. So basically, you're not allowing that fungus to breathe. And if the fungus can't breathe, it can't live. And so we get into resistance versus insensitivity. What do they mean? So resistance, so the disease population was sensitive at one time to the fungicide, and now it's not. So you never were going to be sensitive. It's kind of an uglier word. So resistance, it really doesn't work. The fungicide doesn't work. Insensitivity. So insensitivity, there's an inherent insensitivity in every population. So some of the disease basically is not sensitive to the fungus or the fungicide that you're applying. So the organism by creation is sensitive to the fungicide active. So we prefer this word insensitivity because you actually don't know if it's resistant or not prior to applying. So we're saying if it's insensitivity, you might have one plant out there in the population that's naturally insensitive to that fungicide, and that disease is allowed to propagate over time. So for insensitivity, it will increase over time. You know, that's just the way it is. And if the plants are allowed to reproduce over time, if you're applying the same fungicides or fungicides, I guess there's two ways to say it. I'm more of a fungicide type of a guy. But if you are applying the same fungicide all the time and that disease is not responding and dying like it's supposed to, then that little bit allows to grow. That's why we mix up our fungicides. That's why we're doing all this kind of thing to control all those populations that are trying to grow. So long story short, they're similar, but a little bit different. I guess it's basically knowing versus not knowing is what I would say.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, I mean, we're not totally wrong if we call it resistance as slang, perhaps, but it maybe not totally right either. So,
you know what?
So that's fair.
And I would go with that. However, if you were somebody that did a resistance test and were lucky mm-hmm. enough to have somebody come to your field and submit your plant samples, and somebody said those plants are resistant, then it is fair to use that term resistant. So up until you know, I guess it's insensitivity.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair. Okay. So let's maybe go back in time a little bit and maybe have you set the stage for us on group 11 resistant anthracnose in lentils. So kind of how did you come across it? How has Syngenta been involved? If you can give us some of that.
Great. So absolutely. So for me, this dates back to the late 2000s. And you know what? We had a product coming and we're going to do some trials in anthracnose. And we noticed that with a product that we have called Elatus, that it was consistent. Performance was always consistent versus other things that we had in the trial list. So 2018 to 2020, we were doing trials here at Syngenta. So then we get to 2020 and we're doing an industry survey on anthracnose. And they asked me, they said, would you participate? Absolutely. However, we're not going to find it. Of all the scouting I've done for anthracnose, it wasn't very easy to find. And I said, well, I'll maybe get some samples, but I don't believe I will because we're not going to find it. Well, 2020 happened and for some strange reason, all the moons aligned. Maybe it was all the previous lentil crops, all the residue, the perfect weather pattern, whatever happened, we had anthracnose in 2020 in a big way. So a great year to be in a survey because you can find it readily, collect it, submit the samples. We did an industry survey that was led by Ag Canada. We submitted our samples to Swift Current at Dr. Michelle Hubbard's lab. And yeah, we were able to evaluate that anthracnose population and determine, hey, what's up? Is group 11 fungicides going to work or they're not going to work? Like, give us the state of the union here for anthracnose. And at the same time, at Syngenta, we didn't know as well if we could do some evaluating. And we submitted those to our lab in Guelph, Ontario, and we did the same type of a study, but in a different way. And we'll talk to that in a little bit. But there are different ways of determining if that plant is resistant and how much and that sort of thing. But bottom line, it was a great year to find anthracnose. However, we had also done some trials, and it was a great year under heavy anthracnose pressure to see what fungicide actives are working, which fungicide products are working. And I'll tell you from my experience, they're not all the same. Glossy ads tell you what you want to hear, but when you see them all lined up under heavy pressure, there is a difference on performance for sure.
Yep. Interesting. Okay. And so when you were part of this survey, was this just the annual survey and it happened to come around the right time, or were people quite concerned about the potential for resistance? How did the survey come to be?
Actually, it was BASF. They reported that they found some resistant anthracnose in Western Canada, and it was in a targeted geography in a small radius, but they found due to some complaints, and I'm not speaking for them, but apparently the fungicide isn't working. Why? Tell us why. So they were able to do some testing, submitted some samples away. They come back and they say, you have resistance to group 11 fungicides. They talk to Saskatchewan pulse growers, who decided we're going to take this to the industry, which included people like myself and other agronomists and other chem companies and other researchers. And we made an action committee for lentil anthracnose resistance to group 11 fungicides. So that's what happened. We were introduced to this problem. Then we were able to help message this to the greater public, and it started informing people about things to watch for.
Okay. So that makes sense. And so then with the, I guess, results of this study, did they kind of show that you're seeing group 11 resistant anthracnose really across all of the prairies, or what was the distribution like?
Yeah, that's a good point. All of the testing was done in Saskatchewan. So I can't comment to Alberta, can't comment to Manitoba, but all of the agronomy staff like myself and others had collected through the Saskatchewan government and ourselves, we collected samples, submitted them, and there was a significant participation in this. So Ag Canada got a great representation of different areas in Saskatchewan, in the lentil growing areas, and they were able to do this genetic test where they determined the resistance, and it came at a very high level. Now, I relate that back to Syngenta because we wanted to learn ourselves about what was going on. So they do a genetic test. Well, at Syngenta, we collected from 20 fields in a broad geography, so not a targeted geography where it's not working. We went to random guys across a broad geography, you know, talking, I'll give you the corners, so Regina, Milestone, Weyburn, Ogama, Radville, Moose Jaw, Tuxford, Swift Current, Rosetown, Kindersley, Marengo, Davidson. These are all big lentil growing areas. So we got a small sample from all of these different areas. And guess what? They came back, 19 out of 20 fields showed that there's resistance. So at Syngenta, we do what's called a bioassay. So we take the purified strains of anthracnose, and then we tried to grow them on different concentrations of that fungicide active. So for group 11 fungicides, if you have resistance to one group 11 fungicide, you are resistant to them all. And so that gives you a problem. I want to use my group 11 fungicides because they've been so good on my farm and blah, 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 all that sort of thing. But if I like product A, I'm also resistant to product B, product C. They're not any different. And other groups don't act that way, but group 11 fungicides do. So we were able to determine that 19 out of 20 fields were resistant. Well, that's not good because, like I said, this isn't a targeted geography. This was a broad-based survey. So we do it by the bioassay. Now, Ag Canada does, there's the genetic route, and there is a specific gene called the G143A mutation. And if that gene mutation shows up, genetically, it's very easy to tell that, hey, you're resistant to group 11 fungicides. And that's the way they did. And I would say on a ratio of percent, they had way more samples in the industry survey, but it aligns to that 19 out of 20 were resistant.
Oh boy. Okay. So I guess then, you know, would you suggest that people just assume they have resistance on their farm then, if you were getting that 19 out of 20 in the results?
You know what? That's a good way to look at it, because I didn't know most of these farms that I went to, and they would represent what others are doing on their farms. Everybody's different, but you know what? The use pattern is quite similar, you know, with the people that are using fungicides. So we've taken the approach that since it was such a broad geography and not targeted, so it's very random, that we believe that this is probably running across Western Canada for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly safe assumption. So I guess if we assume the resistance is across the prairies, what would that mean for me as a farmer?
So you as a farmer, so you should assume that this problem is out there. If it isn't, great. But you should start employing some of the practices that either you're going to have to deal with or you're going to have to prevent. And so one thing that we often talk about, you can talk about crop rotation. So crop rotation, we all know that. And if you can stick to having those lentils in the ground a longer duration between crops and just employing some kind of a proper crop rotation. Second thing is scouting. You know what? Do you scout your lentil fields? These fungicides work better preventatively. Getting those fungicides on the plant prior to disease propagation is ideal. Not saying between the canola that you have to spray twice and getting your herbicide on your cereals, you know, the lentils need some love and dew. You got to get out there and find a way. So if you're not familiar with what to scout for, you ask for assistance. There's lots of agronomists out there. There's lots of companies like Syngenta that can send somebody over and help you watch what to look for and scout with you. But then it doesn't end at scouting, it's timing. So that early application prior to disease development, I know people say, everything's supposed to spray early. I'm supposed to spray my canola early and I'm supposed to spray this yep. early. Well, the recommendation with lentils, get in there early, at early flower prior to row closure. And that's a very nice tagline word, but why? Why am I saying early flower? One, these products need to be on the plant prior to disease would be ideal. We say early flower prior to row closure because you can still get in there and get that product sprayed deep into the canopy, because for some reason, at the bottom of that canopy is where disease starts to really move. And it's probably because it's humid under there. That's because crop residue is there and moisture could be there in some fashion. So, hey, it's been a dry year. Well, go ahead, put your hands inside that lentil canopy on a dry year and swish them back and forth. And I'll challenge you to believe that your hand did get some moisture on it in some fashion. So it doesn't end after that on how to apply, but it is how to utilize your sprayer. Slow down if you can. It isn't the race to spray the fastest you can, but if you slow down and add more water, your chance of getting that product down to where you really need it to go increases. So yeah, you can spray these at 100 liters per hectare or 10 gallons per acre. Well, up that if you can. More water means better coverage. And Tom Wolf has always talked that way. It's one of the things I loved about his discussions about fungicide is, hey, water's free. It ensures your coverage. Better coverage means better protection in my mind.
Totally. And I love you saying better coverage, more water, because at Winfield United, those are things we talk about all the time. And I know the listeners of the Buddy C will know about application technology, and they'll know about Interlock, and they'll know how, you know, Interlock can really help increase the coverage, minimize drift, and that's really important for fungicides, and especially as you you said in Lentils, getting deep into that canopy. And I think Interlock would be a really great fit there. So I want to get back onto the fungicide topic here. We're talking about fungicide timing, application, but we just talked about group 11 resistance. So are there other fungicides out there I can use? What's going to work for me?
Yeah, there is. Actually, you know what? It's a scary thing on any time you're saying on resistance. However, we're pretty blessed in the pulse industry to have fungicide actives. You know, there's three or four different groups. You've got your group threes, your triazoles. Not everyone is active on each disease, so you need to do your homework and understand if I'm going to go with a group three. You've got your group sevens, and that's the real hot topic right now, especially Syngenta. We've got one of the actives called Solatinol, that's a group seven, and there are other group sevens out there, but they're the short form SDHI. And what that means is a succinate dehydrogenase inhibitor. So you're inhibiting an enzyme. Basically, once again, that doesn't allow, it doesn't let that fungus breathe and it controls it. So there are a few different group sevens out there. And from the work that we've done personally here at Syngenta, just to get the confidence in our own group seven Solatinol, is that a group seven does not perform like another group seven. They are all different and the performance levels differ in their abilities. So we're not here on this podcast to brag up our own, but we've got Solatinol as our SDHI group seven fungicide active. And it's in the product Alatus, works awesome on anthracnose. So, but then you get into group 11s, and this is the active that was so exciting because it is there moving within the plant. It grows upwards and outwards in the water conducting vessels. So that's one of the cool things about the group 11s is they actually either grow with new growth or they are translaminar, which gets them from the top side to the bottom side of the leaf. So not every disease population within that field is resistant to group 11 fungicides. It's about now, what do? You need to protect that active with another active. So the last grouping is group M5 that I'm talking about today is chlorothalonil. And we have the product Bravo Zinc or Bravo ZN. And the good thing about a group M5, it's a multi-site, so it works on different areas of protecting from that fungus growing. And there's goods and bads. The good thing is that it's a multi-site, and it's very challenging for a fungus to gain resistance to that fungicide. The other thing, if you look on the negative side as a grower that wants to apply, is it's a contact fungicide. So what you cover is what you protect. So that generally means, how are you going to get good coverage? Slowing down, adding more water. So utilizing these groups to your best benefit.
Yes, our listeners definitely know about coverage and application technologies. That's something we've been, you know, sharing as an important message from Winfield for a while. So I just want to back you up. So I think you mentioned a lattice, and that's a group 7 and 11. So we've been talking about these populations that are insensitive or resistant to group 11. So, you know, if we were using a product like a lattice, wouldn't we just be selecting for group 7 resistance then?
Yeah, that's a good point. And the quick answer is yes and no. If you actually were just following crop rotations and following rotations of your products, doesn't matter if it's herbicide or fungicides, and performance seems to be fine, you're doing great. I don't think there's anything to worry about. I used a lattice last year and everything seemed to be fine. Okay, well, then you keep doing what you're doing because you have two modes of action, two chemical groups, the group 7 and the group 11. And if you get a chance to use a grouping of any kind, you always select the best one. So if you don't know what the best one is, you need to start asking questions of your agronomy team, your agronomist, your chem company, whoever you're going to talk to. What are you spraying for? Well, I want to protect my my lentil crop from anthracnose. Okay, you need to select the best active, which is solatinol. It is mixed in with the lattice. Now, we were lucky and not lucky. It came as a co-pack. So when you are a co-pack, you have to have a label for the azoxystrobin that was in there. You have to have a label for the solatinol that is in there. And both of those actives form elatus. So both of those actives were registered for anthracnose. So we knew that it wasn't a combination fungicide, that which one's doing the work. Are both working together at smaller rates? No, each one on its own will control anthracnose. So that's a good thing. I don't know if I have lentil anthracnose. Well, you go out there and you're spraying two chemical groups, group 11 and group 7 within a lattice, and you can determine, hey, that worked pretty good. I have had somebody do a survey work and it's been confirmed that I have resistance to group 11 fungicides. Okay, now you have to assume that somewhere in that field they collected a lentil plant and they submitted that anthracnose, and whether it was one plant or a million, because the old, how bad do I have it, man? Well, it doesn't matter. You have insensitivity to group 11 fungicides. So was it one plant or 100? It doesn't matter. You have it. So now I was using group 11 and group 7 fungicides. They were both working in concert together. Now I have confirmed group 11 resistance, insensitivity, whatever word you want to use. Now, what am I going to do? So you have to assume that the group 11 fungus is still going to work well on a number of situations within that field. However, on certain plants, that group 11 fungicide is not going to work. So the group 7 is working by itself. Solatinol, in the case of a lattice, is going to work very well. However, what we don't understand and what we don't know is how many applications can you do this to that resistant population before you're going to get group 7 resistance? Like, how many? Is it once? Is it 100? Like, we just don't know. So we're sitting there, we're thinking, okay, I don't know if I have resistance and my fungicides have been working well. You use a lattice, two chemical groups, two modes of action, group 7, group 11. They did a survey on my farm and they found resistance. Okay, you have group 11, group 7. You should, in the cases of that group 7 working alone on some of those plants, you should protect your group 7 with another mode of action. So which one? Like, what are you talking about? Well, you don't know which plant they sampled from, or maybe it was broad-based, but all we know is that the samplers of these lentil fields did this in a very random pattern in a broad area of that field. So they just didn't step out of the car and grab two plants. So now you have group 7 working on that field. You have group 11 working on that field. However, some of those plants, the group 11 isn't working. The group 7's by itself. So what can I do to add a second mode of action to that controlling that fungus and support that group 7 so it's not working by itself? We've done that with the group 11s. We're not going to do that with the group 7s. So in Syngenta's case, we recommend that if you know you have resistance or insensitivity, or if you've been thinking that your fungicide just hasn't performed the way it should, we are adding Bravo ZN to that mix. And now you have a multi-site, you have a group 7, and you have a group 11 all working in concert on that field. And that will support the longevity of your group 7 fungicides.
Okay, awesome. So it's good to know that there, you know, is other options like Bravo, the M5, the multi-site, that can help protect this group 7, because you know that we've used lots of group 11s over the years, and so now we need to protect that group 7. That makes sense. I did want to ask though, what about group 3s like prothioconazole? Are those going to help at all? Or
yeah, absolutely. It's another group. So the triazole chemistries are going to perform. You know what? All of these groups perform at different levels. But if you think on your farm a group 3 product is going to be a great fit, group 3s do have activity on on these diseases as well. It does add to something that you can add to your chemical rotation of fungicides. And group threes is a good one. I maybe didn't talk about that at the beginning, but remember, triazole is such a broad brush word, and not all triazoles have activity on the disease of question, like lentil anthracnose. Some do, some don't. So just do your homework. And that would be a great tool in your list of rotational fungicides for sure.
Yeah, awesome. So just kind of diving deep into those active ingredients and understanding which specific ones have specific activity on the disease of concern. Is that sort of the message there?
Absolutely. And you know what? I would challenge people that can't make that decision to talk to somebody. Say, what do you know about the performance of these fungicides? And, you know, companies like Syngenta have done some work to determine, okay, we're selling some products too. We want to know, how do they stack up? Like, should people be choosing ours because ours is one of the best choices? If you don't want to go to the supplier thinking, I don't have a relationship with them, or I don't have trustful conversations with them, you can go to the University of North Dakota. That's one area that I did some studying on some of these. They've done some work in the past where they compared different active ingredients, and quite surprising, you're going to find that what they've found is some of these products don't perform as good as you would be advertised. So just something else to add to your list of things to do.
Absolutely. Well, I know we have a lot of keen agronomists that are listening to this podcast, and we'll probably be doing a deep dive into the NDSU lentil work. That's great. So I guess for those agronomists then that are listening to this podcast, what sort of conversations should they be having with their customers just to, you know, get them understanding the potential out there? Or what sort of tips would you share with them?
Absolutely. So, first of all, you have that discussion about lentils. And if they're believing in protecting these lentils, do they know the situation across Western Canada, what's been happening? What's the past use and fungicide use that you've been using on your farm? And you're going to talk agronomics. So once you find out what the seeding plan is, then you're going to talk about agronomics. And, you know, one of the things that we hate to talk about is rotation. But the part that we hate to talk about is consider the fields that you're butting up against. Like, what are those neighbors that are growing all these lentils doing? And now they're growing lentils beside my lentils. And should I be concerned about that? A lot of good operators out there and a lot of people that know what they're doing. So this could be a good thing that you're beside them that have a prolonged rotation and not a concern of residue issues and disease developing next door and affecting what you're going to do. You know, you guide them back to the main things: rotation, scouting. What am I scouting for? Well, that's where you as an agronomist come in. If you don't know, you make that phone call and say, hey, Syngenta, come over here and show me what I'm looking for, and then I can handle it on my own. But it's that timing of application. So that crop stage. So I'm not done spraying my canola. I'm got to spray my cereals, whatever, my wheat. Those weeds are yelling at me. I got to go and take care of business. Well, guess what? Here's why you need to get into those lentils early. They will get thick at early flowering. We don't all have the widest row spacing. And if those rows start to close, how really are you going to drive over and spray down deep into the canopy where lentil anthracnose starts to grow on those stems? You need to be there early in that timing of application. And then application parameters. So go ahead, Google Dr. Tom Wolf and listen to what he says about water volume. I ham him up because I believe what he says. I think things as far as water volume, sprayer speed, boom height. We used to use the amount. It was a Syngenta application team in Europe said that 20 inches above the target was perfect because your overlap of your nozzle pattern would just be at the right stage, at the right height to get to where you wanted to go. So that's one thing that I learned anyway. But it's also that agronomist, it's okay to ask the people, how have things been working on your farm? Oh, you've been using this? Hey, I have a list of choices for you, and here's why. And they'll make the final decision, but you might be there to offer up that opportunity of saying, hey, I think we need to switch actives because here's what we're going to do.
I want to circle back on your, you know, giving your Syngenta rep a call as an example. So for lots of new agronomists that haven't spent that time scouting, I think that's what your reps are there for, to help you and coach you through some of that initial scouting. And I remember, you know, in my career looking for anthracnose or even blackleg, having people come out and help with that initial scout just to help build your confidence. And so don't be afraid to ask is what I would tell our listeners.
No, and sure. And also, Aaron, what I'll build on that is don't be afraid to go back. So I've gone to that field and I saw a couple of specks on those stems. Well, you've caught the disease so early in the development that it is tough to understand, is that disease, is that anthracnose, is it not? Go back. And if that grower says, you know what, I'm good, I'm not applying fungicide to that field, well, make a mental note. Go back in a month and start looking to see if that was the right choice or not. And maybe you can build some rapport by saying, hey, you know, that was anthracnose and it started to grow while you were gone. So anthracnose is a robber of yield, absolutely, and quality. So if you get those stained seeds, they're sold on the visual market. That's why it is a big thing to protect from anthracnose. So one of the other things, Aaron, that we talk about, and I don't know if you had this thought of asking later, but when we talked about timing, that early application is better. Really, for anthracnose, that is the time to get in that crop. But then you get people that want to, hey, I'm going to optimize my anthracnose, get a little bit later than I should, but I'll be a little bit earlier than I should for white mold sclerotinia or gray mold botrytis. So I'm just going to go right in the middle. Well, great idea. And I do think you're going to add some value. But what you set out to do to protect from anthracnose, you're too late. These fungicides work best preventatively, not curatively. So you've already lost on that battle. However, there will be some benefit. However, now you're a little bit too early to maximize the duration of control of white mold or gray mold. So you're kind of too late for one, too early for the other. I don't know if that was the best idea. So I think you get in there, you protect your lentils early, and you make that call later if conditions are favoring molds for later.
For sure.
Just a comment I had, I see a lot of people trying to time them right in the middle, and it's very tough.
Yeah, that's really good advice to do the best job and target that right timing. Okay, we're getting to the end here, Rob. I did want to ask, is there any sort of current research ongoing around insensitive anthracnose, or is there something we should be watching for over the next little while? What do you got your eye on?
Yeah, I believe there is, and I know it's Syngenta and other companies. Now that we know resistant anthracnose is out there, we do a lot of research on the resistant strains and the non-resistant strains to both. So we have a number of actives that we continue to profile, and how are they going to perform on this? New groups, you know, always the comment, why don't they just come out with a new group? Well, it doesn't work always that way. However, we're lucky sometimes that you find a new group and they profile these active ingredients and pulses, it's a great fit. Well, we're waiting to see if that happens. And I know our team is working hard on this. They're testing a number of active ingredients and combinations just to make sure we have a solution to support our lentil growers for sure.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. So is there anything else you wanted to add, Rob, that I didn't get a chance to ask you about?
I do, Aaron, and thanks for that opportunity. You know what? I learned a lot about chemical structure. And when you're going to a presentation and somebody shows that slide of that structure, we all gloss over. I learned that actually that chemistry does matter. And, you know, when I look in Elatus, that fungicide that we have with a group 7 solanol, group 11 azoxystrobin. So all these buzzwords come in, like potency, stability, stamina, all these kind of things. And I thought, well, why is that? Well, you know, we talk in terms of group 7 fungicides, and are they going to react the same? Well, this is the big words part of the presentation, the benzonorbamine ring that comes in the structure of solanol. This is one of those things that gives it the stamina because it makes it more lipophilic, which means it's fat-loving or wax-loving. So this fungicide gets quickly into that wax layer of the plant and stays there. And we often say that it teaspoons itself slowly into the plant. And that way you get that longer lasting protection from those group 7 fungicides, especially solanol that's in Elatus. And so that was the last thing I wanted to say. The chemistry factor of this thing really does mean a lot. And it's something for our listeners to ask more questions about.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Okay. So I have a final question, Rob, a real brain buster for you. So next to the Buddy Seat by Winfield United, what is your favorite podcast?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, I'm going to tell you two things. So one, I'm not a podcaster. I have my work phone and a lot of my phone stuff is just for work. So I'm not a podcaster. However, I was one of the examples and discussions within a podcast called Starting Strength. And these guys are awesome. We had a fellow coworker that was teaching about strength training and resistance training and keeping men's health. And they used me as the example. And I don't think I was the example of the guy at the beach that was all muscular. And I said, that's horrible. That is horrible.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, I was the example of the guy that could benefit from this strength training. And I said, since then I have, and it affects how you feel. Building strength and becoming strong. It's one of the things that we all should think about.
That's awesome. Okay, everyone's going to go look that up now. I appreciate that answer. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, Rob. I really appreciate having you here.
Glad to be here, and we'll talk soon.
Right on. Well, I think we're all pretty optimistic that we're going to catch some rains coming up in 2022, and we'll have a fungicide year. And after this, we'll all be prepared for dealing with fungicide resistance and certainly anthracnose and lentils. So for those of you who are looking for more information, be sure to reach out to your Winfield United rep or your Syngenta representative. So thanks so much for riding along with me today. This is Erin Willenberg signing off from the Buddy Seat. Over and out.